Welcome to episode 80 of the Mommy Beta Podcast. We are four new mommies beta testing parenthood, and today we're going to talk about new rules for baby food, dads doing more work around the house, but not really, silly Christmas gifts, and Kate Middleton's pregnancy, because we just have to. This is episode 80. I cannot believe it. We have two Natalies on the line. I'm one of them. And then we also have a Jennifer. Hello, ladies.
Hi.
Hi, Nat.
We've all had kind of stressful mornings. I had two babies that I got flu shots, and that was stressful. Elle's sick. That's Jennifer's daughter, and Jennifer's also like 800 weeks pregnant. And Natalie's wrestling with her two boys. So it's one of those where we could tell you all everything's great, but we're a little frazzled.
But we're here.
We're here.
We need this time. Yeah.
Can someone please watch our kids while we do the Mommy Beta podcast? That would be great.
I've got someone other than Nemo.
Yeah. Mine is sleeping and another one's in school, so I'm half covered. But anyway, this is the podcast where we do talk about the things that we blog about on mommybeta.com. And last night I wrote this post about baby food. Now, I'm the first one to reach baby food stage with my second baby. We all made homemade food for our first babies. And now that my daughter Ava just hit she's going to be 7 months in a couple of days, we started doing baby food again. And this time around, there's been so many new experiences, and it's not just like repeating the same experience from when I fed my son, and he's only two, so I wasn't there that long ago. But first of all, of course, one of the new things is that I can't bring myself to use the baby cook that we all loved last time. And this is that machine that steams the food and then purees it in the same container. But that container is plastic. And if you've been reading Mommy Beta, you know that most of us have sworn off plastic. So Jennifer, you didn't have a baby, right?
I didn't. You know, and I thought this the whole time, but I didn't ever bring it up because I was like, nah, I don't need to worry them with that. So if they're concerned about it, they'll...
Sure, let their kids get all the plastic.
I didn't want to lecture. I've lectured enough, obviously.
Well, I think by the time we got to the plastic kick, we were almost done with the whole baby stage. Like, yeah. I've only used it probably a handful of times since I got on the plastic kick.
Yeah, and I was the last one to have my first baby. So it was a little different. I mean, because we started with the baby food much later. But I was in Giggle yesterday, and there are more baby food makers like this being introduced. And I'm just like, why doesn't someone just make one made of glass?
I know.
Not that hard. Just make one made of glass.
That's what I was wondering, because I thought, well, maybe I could use the baby bullet, but that's also glass. There's, and I had to search for a blender that was glass as well, because a lot of blenders are also plastic.
Really?
Mm-hmm. They are, and there aren't many that have good reviews that are glass.
That's true. I even thought, well, maybe I'll just get a VitaPrep, and that's the one that the Sheffies use. That's like $400. I'm like, maybe that would be a good investment, because I do use blenders all the time. But even that is some kind of plastic. It's some kind of synthetic. It's not glass.
Yeah, and I did learn about one recently. I should add this to my Christmas list. It's called TriBest Personal Blender. I think they sent us a pitch about it. But it was really cool because you could even screw on like mason jars to this blender. And I thought that was great because then you could just, make your baby food and store it right away.
Yeah, that's kind of neat.
Oh, that is interesting.
So, we talked about this last week, when my next purchase might be a food mill. But so far, my glass blender is working pretty well. I got one that's specifically geared towards smoothies. And so it's good at kind of breaking down the food into a liquid form.
Oh, that's good, because I tried my blender last week on some apples. I was making homemade applesauce, and I had to – every time I pressed the pulse button, I had to stop and stir it. It was impossible. It didn't work at all.
Yeah, and a lot of times –
it was still really lumpy.
With the blender, you have to add more liquid than you think.
And I did. Well, maybe it didn't add enough, but still, I don't want watery applesauce.
Right. And then with some of my baby food, I have milk stored in abundance. I had so much breast milk that I will never use. So I've started to kind of use that in my baby food as well. So
that's
that
great.
Helps to – yeah, I know. I really had the opposite problem this – last time, I was barely keeping
up. You can't refreeze it, remember?
Right. So I'm just using it in kind of like things that I'm feeding her now. So,
got it.
Yeah. But there are good things that you can do now that, before we weren't really told to do. Like, you can give them new foods more often. There's a great article in this month's Parenting Magazine from a pediatrician who's actually in the Bay Area. And he says, giving babies bland food and waiting too long between foods really could make them more picky rather than less picky. So he's like, there's really no research behind why we would wait. So really just go for it. He says you can even some of the kind of scary foods like fish and nuts and eggs. He's like, just, you know, we don't have to be afraid of that. In fact, there's more research now that shows that delaying these foods too long can cause allergies, not prevent them. And then he talks about adding spices and, you know, having them eat with you at the dinner table. It's so fun now. You don't have to just feed them sweet potatoes. So I've been kind of going for it. I'm using that Tyler Florence book that Jennifer recommended. What's it called, Jennifer?
Eat Fresh.
Yeah. Healthy Start.
Fresh Start.
That's what it is. And he's got some really fun ones in there. Like yesterday, I roasted some bananas in their peel, just put the whole banana in the oven for 20 minutes. And then
That sounds great.
It was awesome. And then you peel it open when it's cool. And I put some blueberries, and she loved it.
Ooh, I remember making that one. That one's really good. They have really great recipes in that book.
Yeah, he's done a really good job. And I was a little iffy because one of them had Parmesan cheese. And I never gave my son anything dairy until he was on milk. He was like 11 months or something. But he's got yogurt in there and, you know, Parmesan cheese. And I was like, oh, do I really want to do this? But, you know, I put a little of the Parmesan cheese in the spinach. Or no, it was kale, green beans, and potatoes with some olive oil and Parmesan cheese. And so I was like, okay, let's give it a try. And she liked it. So, and you know, she's still alive. She's doing well. she's being pretty regular. So what do you think of these rules, Jennifer?
Well, when I first started Solids with Elle, I wrote a post called Breaking the Rules.
I remember.
So I'm all about breaking the rules. I ended up giving her like a mixed veggie pack. I would make shortcuts and get by the frozen organic vegetables that were just easy to just go ahead and steam on my stove and then puree. But I did the mix of like the carrot, green beans, you know, a few others, because I just didn't know anyone in my family allergic to those things. And I don't know very many people in general.
Like, so who's allergic to peas, you know?
Right. They're lying if they are.
they just don't like them.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm all for it. I think it's great. I love the idea of introducing bolder flavors because everyone just kind of start kind of more mundane. Something else that I thought about too is when I was talking to my sister-in-law about starting solids, someone told me not to give fruits first, to give veggies first, because then they acquire like a sweeter tooth, and then they don't really like the veggies as much. And I went the route of going the veggies at first, and I kind of believe in this. Do you think it's true, or did you do fruit first?
No, I did veggies first. I was afraid of the same thing.
Yeah, I heard this thing, and then I've also heard that that's kind of a wives' tale. I think I did start with veggies. I think I did a sweet potato or something, so it's kind of like on the fence. It's technically kind of a veggie, but it's sweet.
Yeah, an avocado.
Maybe candy. I was going to say it might be candy. It's so good.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think there's not a lot of research that supports that, but there's no harm in doing it.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, you can come up with some pretty clever mixes, because I don't really like steamed asparagus. I like asparagus kind of roasted in the oven or on a barbecue, you know. So if I'm going to steam the asparagus and I put it with some pears, I think that's okay, you know. Although in the Tyler Florence book, he talks about not really boiling or steaming your vegetables, but he's like, roast them. It gives them a better flavor and they're going to like them more. And so I hadn't done that with my son, so I'll probably do that once I start broccoli. Because even when I did broccoli with him, I was like, this smells disgusting. I wouldn't eat it. So
I love steamed broccoli.
You do?
Me too. Yeah. Me too.
And the roast, it's like my favorite vegetable.
Blech.
And roasting's awesome because you can roast a ton of stuff at one time in big batches. And like the carrots, it makes them sweeter. The sweet potatoes, I roasted those all the time. And
me
they're
too.
So easy because you just throw it in the oven and forget about it. And apples, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. The oven is a really great tool for that. And you don't necessarily need the baba. And the baba, I think, you know, is going to take a lot of nutrients out if you are steaming them. Whereas roasting them, it won't. Those vegetables will stay intact.
Yeah. Well, actually, steaming and roasting are the best for maintaining the nutrients. It's when you get into boiling that it gets bad. It's okay, though, I think, if you boil them. I think a lot of the recipes in Tyler Florence have you boiling them in chicken broth or chicken stock, and then you use that liquid when you're pureeing it, so you're still keeping those nutrients.
Yeah, you're right about that.
actually am glad that I had the baby the first time around. I think it made the whole idea of making my own baby food a lot less intimidating.
Right.
I really don't think I would have done it if I didn't have that, because I just was kind of nervous about the whole thing, and it just kind of eased my mind a little bit. And now I think I can go out on my own and do it myself, but I'm really glad I did have it the first time.
Yeah. And you realize how easy it is. And then, you know, it's not intimidating to do it the second time around without right. it. It's kind of a good starter kit. But, the one thing that makes me feel better is that most of the research we're finding about heating plastics is showing that whatever chemical goes through your body can be out of your body in, you know, as little as 5 days. You can, they mm-hmm. test it in your urine and it's not there. So, you know, whatever harm we might have done to our first children with the Beba is at least not with them any longer, and I'm not putting more plastic in his body. So.
Yeah, it metabolizes very quickly, supposedly. Right. And it's funny because each meal I make these days, I sort of think about the BPA content in it. Like, ooh, how I was able to bypass this or whatever, because I buy the palmy tomatoes in the little boxes, and pretty much I feel like it. From anything I know, I'm avoiding it in most of my meals, which makes me feel good.
Yeah, me too. Or when I can put everything that I've used after a meal in the dishwasher, I'm like, that was completely plastic-free. And then you know, then I feel really good about it. Whereas sometimes there's like a lid or something that I have to hand wash. So,
mm-hmm.
yeah, we're obsessive about avoiding plastics and BPA, but I do really think it's founded. And, you know, if you kind of bypass all that research. I was thinking about this the other day because, you know, a lot of people are like, oh, I'm just not going to worry about it. It's something I can't concern myself with. But that attitude is really what you're saying when you say that is, I trust that the government is making safe decisions for the products that we put on the market. And that's just a fallacy that's disproved every single day with some new product. So you do have to be careful, especially with our little ones.
And I think it's us voting with our dollars,
yes.
you know, instead of buying the, you know, canned tomatoes with the BPA liner, you know, buying those box tomatoes shows companies that, yes, we're concerned about this. Yes, maybe we'll pay a little more for it. So please change your packaging.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Amen.
And I was telling Natalie before we started this podcast that, you know, people act like plastic's a natural material, that it's just here on this earth and we just use it. And in reality, it wasn't here until the 1970s. And you're basically saying, you know what, I trust whatever you're using to make this crazy material that, you know, nothing's coming out of it. I'm trusting what you're saying, but there's all this research, even with plastic bottles. I mean, it makes me so crazy to see, you know, my mom drinking so many water, like just buying all the water bottles, and she leaves them in her car.
Oh,
like, no. Yeah, and it drives me nuts. But yeah, so that's the thing that kind of, I mean, like since 1950, like 70,000 new chemicals have been introduced into our world, you know? So
right.
things are going to keep popping up if we don't go back to what's natural and what's proven.
And it's not just for our children. It's also for other people's children. Just this week, there was an article in the Wall Street Journal about how industrialization and the use of synthetics like plastic has been so hard on our whole ecosystem that in the next couple of years, food is going to almost double in prices. And that means that children in the third world are almost not going to be fed at all. And it's because we're insisting on living on a certain way off of, you know, disposable diapers and plastic and all of this stuff that's really so bad on the planet that it's going to have this lasting effect on other children. So even if you don't want to protect your children from plastics right now, you have to think about the things that you do as a consequence for other kids mm-hmm. as well. Isn't that a sobering thought?
Wow.
It is. I mean, like, I look at those, like, well, those snack packs and things that, you know, all these snack size things. It's like, do we really need 25 little plastic bags of Goldfish for our children?
Right, individually wrapped nuts and things like that.
The ultimately individually wrapped thing is a piece of fruit. It comes with its own skin.
Oh, good thought.
Exactly.
And
perfect little snack.
It's a natural and fresh.
And compostable.
Right. Well, you know, a lot of the things that we choose, like doing baby food and, you know, cloth diapering and stuff, are things that we choose as moms, but we have to get our husbands on board as well. And that brings us to a story that was pretty popular online from the Wall Street Journal this week about how men are doing more chores at home. And so marketers are trying to make that easy for them. And so there's this study that shows that men are reporting doing a whole 16 minutes of housework a day, which is up 2 minutes from 2003. That's why there's this story, because men are doing 2 minutes more per day. That just is like a slap in the face, because women are doing a whole 52 minutes of housework on average per day, which is down 6 minutes. So this story went on to say that men are doing more, women are doing less. But really, 2 minutes more for them and 6 minutes less for us. I mean,
does that mean our houses are 4 minutes less clean than they used to be, since the dads are only doing 2 minutes more and we're doing 6 minutes less?
Right. So there's 4 minutes that's not being done.
We're dirtier.
I don't know.
What are they doing in these 2 minutes? Folding their socks?
What is anything you can get done in a house in 2 minutes? Like, they're putting their own coffee mugs in the dishwasher. Thanks for that.
I do have to say, Sean does a lot of housework. He definitely does, I would say, more than 16 minutes per day. So I guess I'm one of the lucky ones.
I'm lucky too. Tom cleans the bathroom, and I'll tell you what, those take at least 52 minutes each.
Yeah, my husband does a lot of chipping in himself. And then a lot of times I'm like, well, why didn't you just do this thing? He's like, I didn't see that, you know, where I'll leave something on near the stairs. And I'm like, just take that with you upstairs. You're going to make my life so much easier and save me a trip. And he doesn't see it. So that's one of those women are from Mars, men are from Venus, or switch that around.
Well, what cracks me up is they act like, oh, our men are, you know, off at work, taking care of us, bringing in the bacon, handling all these important issues at work, but they can't figure out how much detergent to pour in a cup for some laundry.
Yeah, they're making these little pods, and Jennifer and I were noting that they are made of plastic. It's some kind of plastic that has to dissolve into your clothes that you wouldn't then wear on your body. But that's genius, because a man just has to throw it in and not measure out anything else. And I'm like, okay, like, my husband's like one of the smartest people I know, and I married him because of that. He wouldn't be able to figure out, you know, that this is a load of whites and that's how much detergent it needs.
Yeah, it says they created these to address the stress women say they feel about delegating responsibility for the laundry to their husbands and other family members.
I don't think the detergent is the problem there. I think it's more about like what cycle to put it on, or if they're, you know, separating the dry cleaning from the this or the that. I think the amount of detergent isn't really the issue there with the delegation.
Yeah.
And our husbands can read, though. It's like, okay, it says dry clean only. And I personally, I don't know if you guys do this, I never change my settings. Usually. It's like very rarely.
Seldom. For cloth diapers, I do, because it needs a rinse first. But my husband has figured that out. He's, you know, he's not
an
idiot.
He washes diapers?
Yeah, he'll wash diapers. He doesn't fold them. I fold them. He can. But yeah, he'll do it. It, you know, took a couple of conversations where I'm like, the washer and dryer's in his office, and he goes up there often. So I'm like, can't you just take it and put it in? And then, you know, I'll come and finish it off, so he'll at least get it started. So he started to do that. He hates advertising that shows men and fathers as doofuses. That's one of his biggest pet peeves, is when you see a commercial, it's like, oh, dad did this again, he stepped in dog poo or whatever. Any advertising that makes men look like the dolt really gets under his skin.
Yeah, it's funny, because so many sitcoms when I was growing up, it just has the dads looking like idiots, you know? It just cracks me up. It doesn't seem that much so much today. I did find it interesting in this article too that they spoke to a Dyson spokesperson about vacuum cleaners and said women take the lead when buying the full-size vacuum cleaners, but men have an equal say in buying cordless vacuum cleaners. It's like, my husband handles buying any large appliance. I'm not even researching that stuff.
Yeah, there's a lot of, like, I don't know, kind of funny gender stereotypes that we can make from this. And I guess, you know, in my experience, you kind of fall into gendered roles when you start as a family. And then if you want to change things around, sometimes we just have to have that conversation. Like Natalie said, Sean is the bottle washer in our family. I'm sure he never would have said, like, hey, this is what I'll do, you know, but somehow you came to an agreement that would work for you. And so that seems to be the best.
Actually, I think Sean probably did say
he does like doing dishes. So he may have volunteered for that job, but, Yeah, he's a little strange that way.
I've known him. It's pretty amazing. I went over the other night pretty late to Natalie's to pick something up. Sean's sitting on the couch. The lights are low. Christmas music on. There's a candle, scented candle in the air. And everything looks so nice and neat. And I'm like, geez, I need Sean to come over to my house for a couple hours a night.
Yeah, because he had been home by himself for about 2 hours before that. So he had kind of put everything away and had all the nice atmosphere. And I walk in the door and it's beautiful. And I'm like, oh, I have the best husband ever.
Although sometimes that makes me feel bad. I went to work the other day and Clayton stayed home with both kids and he managed to get them out to Target, do some grocery shopping. I come home and there was a dinner in the crock pot and the kids were napping and, you know, no one was, he wasn't stressed out. And he's like, here's the baby. She needs to nurse now. And then he went up to his office and I was like, don't make this look easy. That doesn't make me feel good. But I don't want him to be too frazzled either.
Well, it's like the shampoo effect, you know? One day, your hair looks great, awesome. You keep using that same shampoo for a couple of days, it's going to get yucky and grimy and build up. And it's sort of like when you do anything for one time every once in a while, you're awesome at it, you know? But then if you do it every day, it kind of just gets insane and...
I guess. I mean, we should give credit where credit's due, right? And I think that's what we're trying to do because we have really helpful husbands. But I find this article just so comical that even it's worth mentioning that men are doing an extra 2 minutes of housework. Like, yay for you. I might be doing an extra 2 minutes of, I don't know what, it wouldn't be, I might be getting an extra 2 minutes of a manicure. It wouldn't be worth a Wall Street Journal article.
A full page Wall Street Journal article.
Right. All right, well, we're being silly. Speaking of silly, Jennifer wrote this silly gift guide for little kids. Jennifer, you want to tell us about this?
Sure. So I was just kind of breezing through catalogs. You guys, this is something else that makes me angry, is I get like 25 catalogs in the mail a day, and I think about all the trees being killed. I'm such a hippie these days.
I can't tell you how many Pottery Barn Kids, Pottery Barn Teen, how many different stupid Pottery Barn catalogs I get. I've probably gotten... 15 in the last 2 weeks.
Me too. Here's a question. How do you stop that?
I think there's NPR advertises some website that you can go to stop that, and I can't tell you what it is.
Maybe,
but I bet
if
you Googled it, you can find it. We should link to that.
Because it's so easy to unsubscribe from spam, but then more and more stuff keeps coming to my house as my kids get older and I'm patronizing other retailers. And how do I make that stop?
Mm-hmm. I was thinking the exact same thing last night about PB Kids. I was like, really? 3 or 4 of the same catalogs? Ridiculous.
Yeah. Let's look into that. And if any of our viewers knows, write us at mommybeta.com or tweet us at mommybeta.
Yes, please. Because then, you know, my extra 2 minutes a day, which I think I probably am doing, is sorting through all these catalogs and recycling them. It's taking forever. But looking through these catalogs, I was thinking, oh, you know, sometimes it's nice just to have something like that to look through to get inspiration for any holiday gifts I might not have thought of. And I was perusing through this and I was like, oh my gosh, these gifts are hilarious. I mean, I just can't imagine. To be honest, when I saw this first item on the list, the toy sweeper, which is like a mini Swiffer, my thought immediately went to Dominic Natalie.
He would love that.
I was like, he probably already has this. And basically, it's like a mini kids version of a Swiffer that actually works. It has microfiber pads, replacement pads you can purchase so they can clean with you.
The microfiber sweeper that I just bought recently has a telescoping handle, so I can make it really short so he can actually use it, which he's a big fan of.
Oh, nice. Multi-purpose. Well, you know, I might get one for Elle so she can just do it alongside me and cover more ground at the same time. For $12.95, it might just be worth it. I don't know. But one of the other ones that I thought was hilarious was an espresso machine. It's like, oh, let's get our kids started on their coffee fascination early.
That is silly. That's funny.
And I giggled when I saw that because the first thing Dominic does when he goes to preschool is he goes to the play kitchen and he makes me coffee.
You got him trained.
So he might actually like that one too.
This is Dominic's wish list. Just
no kidding. Although I don't think he wants an ATM. We'll just say that.
The ATM, it's funny. I've seen this before and I'm like, what? This would go with Alex's little post about how her little daughter wants money. I need more money.
Yeah, I love it. It's for the child's fascination with the ATM. How many kids are fascinated with the ATM that you just take them there and they're standing with you?
I know. And they're like, what's mommy doing? It's awesome.
They're like, don't touch anything.
Yeah. I know how to do it, mommy. I have my own.
Yeah. You know? Excuse me. Do they take CardStar?
Right. You forgot your PIN again. One of the other things I put on here, it's not necessarily something you would get for Christmas, but it was this Christmas bedding that Pottery Barn Kids sells. I don't know who else sells it, but it's like, really? Who spends $200, more than that when you buy the sheets and everything, like $300 on bedding that you're going to put on your bed for, you know, 25 days out of the year?
Yeah, that's pretty lavish.
I want to meet that mom and get some tips from her on
right
what yeah. she's doing right.
Maybe you can get it on super clearance the day after Christmas and then use it the next year if you really want to do it.
Oh, that's not a bad idea. That's not a bad
idea. I don't even like changing my daughter's sheets, which I force myself to do.
I know. I agree with you.
Plus, it wouldn't match her color scheme. I could just see Tom. What is this? Is that like we have room?
And yeah. I have a huge pet peeve about a cluttery linen closet. So to have this sitting in the linen closet 11 months out of the year would really... I'm like the opposite of a hoarder. I'm a deleter. I would get to about April and throw it away in the trash.
It always amazes me when I buy that holiday clearance stuff, and miraculously, I find it the next year after I've already boxed up the Christmas stuff and I had to put it somewhere else. It makes me so happy when I remember to use stuff. One other thing that I thought was hilarious in one of these catalogs was this carnival crane game.
Which, yeah, that's kind of silly. And then you have to fill it with junk that you don't really need, like these little balls and things.
Well, it actually comes with 180 of these little prizes.
Oh, no thanks.
More junk.
It's included in the $45.99, so it's a total steal. Wow. But it was like right on your your kitchen counter or something like that.
Yeah.
I'm like, what is this, an aspiring gambler or a carny? You gotta win.
Carny.
All right, and then the pickle.
The last one was the pickle. I was like, seriously? Hot potato isn't good enough. It's this game called Pass the Pickle, which is just like hot potato. Plays music. Once the music stops, you can't be the last one holding the pickle. So it just kind of put some naughty images in my mind. Don't be caught. It's a life lesson. Do not be caught with the pickle.
Yes. Words to live by. The pickle. That's our show title. I'm writing that down right now. Hands off the pickle. I'm glad you all listened to this episode. All right. Well, that's really fun. If you guys have other ridiculous children's toys, go ahead and send it to us. You can also, we're also on Facebook. It's Mommy Beta on Facebook as well. So we want to wrap up by congratulating the royal family because we are all just as enthralled as everyone else is with Kate Middleton's pregnancy. We've been waiting and waiting for a new little baby to be in line for the throne. And the royal family, it's so funny, announced on Twitter that she is having a baby, but she's in the hospital with morning sickness. It's a very severe condition. They basically call it like extreme morning sickness, where you have in danger of being overly dehydrated and losing the baby. So she's been in the hospital with that, and that's no joke. We've had that in my family. That is not fun, but hopefully she gets through it because I want to watch this pregnancy like everyone else.
Yeah, I'm so excited. I was actually really surprised it happened so soon. I didn't feel like they'd been married that long, but I think it's
about
awesome.
A year, hasn't it?
Over a year. It's been over a year.
Yeah, but they're pretty. Are they young? They're pretty young, aren't they?
They're our like, age.
That's young. That's so young.
If you think about the pressure that we got from our parents to procreate, think about if the queen asks you if you're pregnant yet, the shaking in the boots that you might be doing. So.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But they do look so in love, and I think that's so sweet, and I hope that it's, you know, true and that you know, things just keep getting better for them because I'm rooting for them.
Yeah, me too. I know I'm going to hate her because she's going to be super adorable pregnant.
I guess she couldn't keep her hands off the royal pickle.
No, you did not go there.
Jennifer, sorry. How do you think babies are born?
She decided not to pass the pickle.
royal babies have to be born just like all babies.
Oh, goodness. Do they? I'm sure some have been born or procreated in different ways.
You know, my husband and I were talking about what if it's twins, and then which one is going to be in line for the throne then? And I guess there would have to be officials on hand to point out which one was first who would be eligible for the throne. It's just, kind of, it's just like that movie, The Man in the Iron Mask. Did you guys see that movie?
I have not seen it. Leonardo DiCaprio, though, I wanted to. I never got around to it.
That's a great movie. It's one of my favorites, actually. It's a really, really good movie.
So. Well, I hope it's not twins for that sake, because I, you know, make me sad to know that there was that rivalry, because it'd be hard if knowing you were a minute away from being, or maybe it'd be easier. I don't know.
Yeah, I'd kind of rather be the second twin, right? Because you get all the good stuff. Like Prince Harry. I mean, he gets to go and party in Vegas while
naked.
Yeah. You know, he gets
that's
all
a good point.
Without any responsibility.
Yeah. Very. That's true. That's true. Well, anyway, we will be watching this pregnancy with the rest of the world. So congratulations, Kate Middleton, on your pregnancy. And we certainly hope you feel better. So hope you're feeling up to your pickles and ice cream.
She's had enough pickles for a while.
Well, I'll say. You slut. All right. Well, you can ring in on anything that we've talked about today at mommybeta.com. Or again, you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. You can email us mb@mommybeta.com. And we will be back next week with more celebrating the holidays and trying to get through it with our crazy little ones. So thanks for listening, everyone. Have a really great week.
Bye, everybody.